I wanted an on-the-ground report, not, you know, not media, not rumors, not the rumor mill on the internet. Just what did you see? And this guy's a trained, highly intelligent operative. He's a computer expert as well. But
there are loads and loads of people with Black Lives Matter t-shirts, KKK t-shirts, all kinds of t-shirts. They were sitting eating lunch together, Black Lives Matter and KKK. I don't think so. Side by side.
And they busted CNN completely faking the event. There was no event at all. And yet they were telling the people, oh yeah, they're having this talk in the Rose Garden. And so
it's a war of deception. They're trying to get to our minds so that they can sort of control the actual happenings in the background while we think something different is happening.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have two great people joining the program. I have Oli Damagard and Cody Snodgrass, and I am really happy. Somebody I needed to talk to because they're just such kind, beautiful people. And, you know, people who know Oli, he is a world expert on false flags. And Cody, I used to be in Black Ops, and he has had a complete transformation. Said he had a near-death experience. It really changed his life. And, you know, I interviewed them on January 6th, and that was before the whole thing went down at the Capitol. And then my website got taken down, and Twitter got taken down, all these things, and I could not get it up right away. And so I did an interview with them and one for my members. I just put everything for my members back then with them online. And on my sarahwestall.tv site, and then also on my new Ebonier site, you can see them as well. And so what we did is we talked about January 6th, and Cody has some really interesting information that he knows about January 6th and, you know, the insurrection, the BS with that. And then we talk about other things that they know. They always bring really inside deep information. Cody, he has a lot of intelligence operatives around the world that he knows and he talks to. And then Cody, and then Oli with his research and everything he does. He's just amazing, these guys' contacts. So we talk about various topics, and I think you'll find it really interesting. And then they stick around and we talk about spiritual warfare for my members. You can see that on sarahwestall.tv or on Ebonier. So my members can watch on either thing. And Ebonier, I want to tell you, also has just put out that little documentary called Mind War. And I put up the Aquino's 1980 paper up there, the leaked military report. And then I also have the second edition of his book is going to be up there pretty soon because it'll be based my next parts of Mind War. And I also want to remind everybody, I keep talking to people. I've been on a lot of different shows promoting the little mini documentary that I did called Humanity's Decision. And it was something that just poured out of me. A lot of times it takes me, you know, a lot of time to do research and things take a lot of time. This documentary was interesting because it just came out of me. And to me, it is a work of passion. It's so important. I think it's geared for everyone. Somebody who's, you know, they go to my website, it might be kind of scary for people who aren't that knowledgeable about things. But if people are questioning the vaccine, it's a great mini documentary for them, a great video for them. Even for everyday people, you will learn something in that video. I just please share it with others and help the cause. I'm so censored. And the only way to get information out there now is for us to be a community all working together to share information. So anyways, I want to remind you of that. And you can subscribe to all of my platforms at sarahwestall.com under subscribe. Please sign up for my newsletter. It is one of the best ways to learn about the work that I'm doing. And before I get into the conversation, I want to tell you, I am not on video because I could not get my video to work. I'm having so much interruptions on my video. And to make sure that everything works good, I put Ole on video, and then Cody is on a satellite phone, and he that's the only way he can talk. And so I am on audio only. I'm going to work on it. I've just been having a lot of issues with it. So that's why you see me now and you won't see me during the actual interview. So, and it's okay for people who are on podcasts. They don't care. They're listening to me anyway. So let's get into this fantastic conversation with Ole and Cody. Hi, Ole and Cody. Thank you so much for coming back to the program.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Well, I had you on January 6th before that whole fiasco went down, and you warned, you said, let's see if there's going to end up being a false flag. We had no idea what was going to end up happening, but of course there was, and it's still going on, and it ushered in Washington, D.C. being in lockdown to this day, which is just crazy. What do you think about everything that's happened since January 6th and their excuse to do a Washington, D.C. lockdown based on that?
Are you asking me?
Either one, whoever wants to take it on.
I think that it's really, really hard to say anything because when you look at these type of things, it's very rarely black and white. It's very rarely, you know, easy to really see the different details because it's so entangled in a web of lies and psychological warfare. What I can say is that I warned about Capitol Hill the day before we spoke, that I was going to go down, and then it went down. And what happened there, what we are being told happened there, was absolutely staged. That I can guarantee you. But then what happened after that, and the reasons for this whole thing, and I also want to point out that many researchers, myself, have believed that, when Trump came and all of this whole thing, the whole idea was that Obama would come in for a third term, a new world order term, and really do the end game for these guys. And here we are in a situation where I would not be surprised if suddenly there's so much criticism and so many protests against this illegal election of Biden, that the solution, problem, reaction, solution will be, well, at least let's get someone we can trust, and boom, in comes Obama. I would not be surprised at all, but that is pure speculation.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with that because I think that the majority of the United States has just become passive on that issue. And I don't know, what do you think, Cody?
Well, it's good to be with you, Ole, and sure, I appreciate the time here. About 2 days after January 6th, on the 8th at night, I received a call from an associate who used to work for the CIA down in Central America. He worked directly for the station chief down there. And they were road mobile, and they attended the Trump rally on January 6th. And he called me, and we had someone else contact him and then said, get a hold of Cody. I wanted an on-the-ground report, not media, not rumors, not the rumor mill on the internet. Just what did you see? And this guy's a trained, highly intelligent operative. He's a computer expert as well. But what he saw was, he said him and his wife were watching the Trump rally, and he's a trained observer. And he saw, he said it was like a group within a group of the crowd. And he worked in Central America, and he knows the tattoos, you know, for the Becerro 18, the MS-13, the cartel brandings. They do brandings on their bodies. And he said he could see some of them. A lot of it was covered up because it was cold, but he said that they were communicating. He saw a couple of ear sets and some people with, their cell phones and a couple of radios. And they said that just before Trump finished his speech, this kind of crowd, this group within the group started moving towards the Capitol. So they kind of moved over that way because he knew something was up. And he did not go in there. His wife got cold, and she went back to the motel room. But he said that, I asked him, I said, now, was this whole thing staged? You know, was this a planned, staged deal? And he said, absolutely, 100%. And that group was the first group that went in the building. And it appears that they were communicating with somebody inside the Capitol and told when to go. And at about that time, I think Senator Ted Cruz and some of the other Republicans who were going to object to the Electoral College vote, that's when that crowd started moving in there. So apparently it was set up to disrupt the objections the senators were going to make. And so, you know, Ole posted in his newsletter that film clip of the Air Force girl who had a crisis actor resume, which he put in the website, on the resume. And so when she got shot, we analyzed that and looked at it, and that was faked for sure. And so there was a planned group that my friend witnessed, and I think they had the whole thing set up because they knew Trump was going to give that speech, and I think, the people that helped fake the election for Biden, the deep state, Democrats, like Ole says, it's not a clear cut and dried answer. But there was definitely a group within the group. And he said he saw branding and cartel tattoos that he was familiar with from working in Central America. So they might have brought in some agent provocateurs or some other people from the border down south to aid in this this false flag, this staged scenario.
Yeah, it's completely BS. Now, what do you think about the fact that we're still under lockdown based on a complete stage scenario? I'm assuming the lockdown was planned all along as well. I mean, that this is what they were going to do after the fact.
Yeah, and there's so much fakery going on, like Ole's saying, so much deception. I just saw a video, a guy had an overlook recently over the White House, the Lincoln Memorial, the World War I Memorial that's under construction. And then he had the screen on a CNN report of Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, and also Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. And they were supposedly giving a conference live in the Rose Garden. And they had the date and time on the CNN screen. And then he went straight from the screen with his cell phone and showed the top of the White House and the Rose Garden. There was no security, no sniper overwatch, which they normally do when they have an event in the Rose Garden. And they busted CNN completely faking the event. There was no event at all. And yet they were telling the people, oh, yeah, they're having this talk in the Rose Garden. And so the whole thing with this January 6th thing, it was staged, it was planned. They probably had it in the works quite a while. But the actual truth is overlaid with so much propaganda, so much deliberate disinformation, willful deception, and so forth. Then the media, of course, spun it, and laid it at Trump's feet. This is just like Ole said, it's a classic false flag problem, reaction, solution.
Well, what happened at the Rose Garden 2 days? You said it was 2 days ago, or was it 2 days after?
No, that's when I talked to the CIA guy on January the 8th. This was just recently in the last few days. And this guy posted a little video of the CNN. They had an overwatch. He said a patriot loaned him his apartment. It's hard to get things that overlook the White House. Whenever they have presidential details or anything, Secret Service always welds a manhole shut and they cover up all the sniper positions. And so he was there. And he walked from the balcony where he could see the top of the White House and the Rose Garden. And then he went back to the TV, which was on in this building. And it showed the date and time. So this is a live CNN report. Chuck Schumer's giving a talk with Nancy Pelosi. And then he goes straight from that to the Rose Garden and the top of the White House. There's only one security guard. The gates were closed. The parking lot was about 70% empty. There was nothing at all going on. And CNN completely faked this talk with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. And the question is why? But they got busted cold, dead cold, lying on the air. So there's a lot of strange things going on. And we've heard a lot of, rumors and talk and stuff about the deep state and everything. But all I'm telling you is what I know from my buddy, I guarantee that's an accurate source, and he eyewitnessed himself on January 6th about what happened. And he said, from the way Trump looked at the rally, he didn't know that it was going to happen that way. As this crowd, this group started moving off towards the Capitol building, they're the ones that first went in there. And he said it looked like the doors were easy to get in. There wasn't any resistance. It was like they opened it up for them because they knew this group was going to go in there. I think the whole thing was staged. What do you think, Ole?
Yeah, I totally agree. There was, you can also see there's police officer or people in police uniform. I don't want to call them police officers. People in police uniforms that are opening up the gates and pointing them in, guiding them in, and also guiding them in the correct direction, helping them up the stairs. But I would also suggest that just because we see what is claimed to be a shooting of Ashley Babbitt here, this woman, in what is said to be the capital, I would strongly suggest that this could very well just be a film set. It's just a long corridor and a staircase. That's all we see, just with some paintings on the walls and a carpet. The whole thing, the way people are reacting, the way the SWAT teams are on the wrong side of the door, there's no, the whole crowd should be below pushing them upwards, but there's no one down at the bottom of the staircase. It's like the whole thing, I think, was filmed way ahead, prepared. The guy, I know Michael Jaco, a former Navy SEAL, was on location as well. I said, did you see the guy with the horns? He said, absolutely not. No one saw him. And I thought it was interesting when you said the guy with these guys with tattoo maybe coming down from Mexico and so on, because when you look at the footage of the crowd, there's a lot of very short people also in the SWAT teams, very, very short of them, short. And many of them even look like children. It's very bizarre. Children and women, small petite women. I don't know why they do that, but I've seen it in other times as well. Not, it doesn't match up with the real thing. We had it at the alleged Stockholm truck attack as well. The SWAT teams, many of them were like, it looked like teenage women, very small, very petite, and not the type of individual you would think that would be efficient with a job like that, when you really need to be forceful at times. So I know from film sets, I've been working as an extra for years, and I was involved in a film with Daniel Craig, who later became James Bond. It was a really crap movie. It was called Sword of Honor, a four-hour epic thing that was no story whatsoever. But anyway, one of the things they did was to give perspective, to big scenes. like there was in one scene, we had like thousands of tents, of army tents. But to get sort of like a better, so that they would look even better, they had made tents, but they were smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and they were the size of the location was not that big, but it just looked like that because of this difference in sizes. Your mind thought, oh, it's so far, but it wasn't. And also in that scene, many of the ones in uniform were children in the background, to get that perspective thing. So I don't know if there's something like that going on, or what I can tell you is it was not real. And there was also a series of white buses coming, anonymous white buses coming in and offloading people there, just like we saw in Charlottesville, where the alleged car attack happened there, where I think there were five buses coming to Charlottesville, and people were let off there, loads and loads of people with Black Lives Matter t-shirts, KKK t-shirts, all kinds of t-shirts. They were sitting, eating lunch together, Black Lives Matter and KKK, I don't think so, side by side. And then they were handed out, like big posters and signs and whatever was needed. And then, and action, boom. And they started setting up and filming the whole event as being real, but it was not. And so here, the whole thing on Capitol Hill, not what we're being told. So what else is going on, I don't know, but lockdown is a wet dream of the New World Order, because that once they had control over the area, they can do whatever they want. So I think there's a lot of these things, like this press conference you're talking about, maybe there's something totally different. Maybe they're in a different location. Maybe they're on the ground. I don't know. Maybe they're afraid of uprisings or whatever. So they're keeping out of sight. But we're being told, no, no, they're right over there, but they're not. And I know there was a series of alleged revolutions in North Africa, the Green Revolutions, and where these were staged by the CIA in the background. But here, I remember one time we were being told, oh my God, there's this mass riot in this square in, I can't remember what city it was, but that exact city, I had a friend who lived very close to that square. So I said, please, can you go down and film and send me some footage, you know, so I can get a closer understanding of, a better understanding of what's going down. He went down there. He said, it's totally empty here. But when I put on the TV, it was mass hysteria down there. And also, I remember one time they had they had some scenes from also mass demonstrations, and everybody was waving around things, and they were saying, "Oh my God, this is going on in." It was either Iran or Italy, and it turned out it was the Indian flag. They were waving Indian flags. They got it all wrong. But we were being told, no, this is going down right now in, I think it was India, where the colors are similar of the flags, and somebody just messed up in the editing room. You know, so it's a war of deception. They're trying to get to our minds so that they can sort of control the actual happenings in the background while we think something different is happening. It's like being up against an illusionist, a magician that is just trying to divert our attention in one direction, do something in another direction. And so we just have to keep a sort of wide angle look at it, like a 360 degree look. And also every time they say, look over here, if there's a bomb or something goes off over there, look the other way. It says, boom, to the left, look to the right. What happened over here? What is going on there? You know, so while also these things are happening, oh, lockdown, oh, this is Washington, D.C., all of the, what's happening down in Texas? What is happening in other places where they've been talking about dark winter for a long time? And I would say that all of these electrical power failures and stuff like, it's absolutely 100% part of the operation. It is on a global scale. It's in many different countries, Sweden and among others, where this has been trained for years. They call it the society disturbances. I don't know if that's the English word, but that's the Swedish word for it. They practice in society disturbances. Why would you practice in something like that? Because they are the ones actually doing it to the countries, and it's all connected into NATO, into other operations, and coordinated, and above it all, the New World Order, desperate to try to overtake this whole thing.
Yeah, I wanted to add also that my associate that used to work in Central America, he's a computer expert. He worked directly for CIA station chief in one of the countries there. But in the last few months, he had some Chinese nationals that got footage of the Uyghur camps and the organ harvesting from inside, and they could not send it out. They couldn't get it out past the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, censorship. They control all the ELINT and SIGINT, electronic intelligence and signal intelligence. So they smuggled the footage out of China and then had someone send it to him here in America. And this is from inside some of their processing facilities. I mean, they actually had bodies hanging on the meat hooks and stuff and harvesting organs and doing all this stuff. Well, he just slipped it in on a show he was doing, didn't warn anyone or anything, just put it in there. And so he was doing a live stream on YouTube, and within a few minutes time, his whole system crashed. And like I said, he's a computer expert, so he traced all of it back through the servers, and it went back to Beijing. And it was, you know, bounced through several front servers around the world like they normally do when they do cyber attacks. And then after that, he had constant attacks on his computer system, weaponized military-type viruses, and the whole thing. And so when you talk about what happened January 6th, you've got to talk also about China and Chinese military intelligence and the cyber attacks, because I believe very strongly that they had a hand in tampering with our elections and using multiple servers, just like they did to attack him, to get into, say, Mariposa County Election Commission servers. And they can hack them if they have someone on the inside, an operative that gives them the encryption access codes, or they can keep hitting them with AI cyber attacks, artificial intelligence, where they keep hitting the firewall, and then they break through finally, and then they can remotely flip the votes, like from Biden to Trump or whoever. And this also happened in Georgia and up in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. So this type of cyber activity from the CCP, it really is prevalent around the world. China's trying to be the new superpower. They have a massive, massive, massive cyber wing that only rivals, you know, the U.S. and Russia's. And so they're able to hack into things, they're able to change things, alter feeds, alter data. And I think some of that goes into their media control here in America, like with CNN and CBS and the rest of it. So there's a wicked web underneath all this, and it's very deep. And January 6th was just one staged event in many around this presidential election. I mean, if you look at it, look what happened in, what was it, February of 2019, I mean, 2020. The COVID virus just shows up. It's traced back to Wuhan, China. Then all of a sudden, there's all these riots. 97 cities in America had riots with Black Lives Matter and so forth. 95 of them had Democratic mayors. And it all happened right in an election year. Then the election was hacked. Absolutely, it was hacked. And the Chinese Communist Party was right in the middle of it. And then you have a January 6th thing. And like Ole said, some of the people in those pictures are short. They may have been Chinese operatives. What civilians don't understand, Sarah, is that the Chinese have a lot of undercover agents here. And the MSS, their military intelligence service, the Chinese have a rule that anyone around the world that's working at a bank or a shipping dock or anything, if the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, taps you, then you have to work for the intelligence service. You may not be an agent, okay, but you're a proxy agent. Whether you're in Iran at the oil facilities there, or down in South America or in Africa trying to procure minerals, molybdenum or lithium or any of the rare earth stuff, they have a whole worldwide network of civilians that have a front as business people. And they can be tapped at any time covertly and turned into agents. And so here in America, we have a lot of that. And they are checking our DNA. They are hacking into system after system after system, constant. And so it's a big problem. And you can't look at January the 6th or the November 3rd election here in America without looking at cyber attacks and also the Chinese communists.
Well, what do you think about the Chinese Communist Party? And only, I'm sorry, you probably wanted to answer that, but I was going to ask him quickly. There's a Chinese communist military in Canada. People are saying they're seeing them in Texas, and that the Texas operation was really a trying to clear out the CCP in Texas. There's intelligence that I'm getting from that. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, down in Houston, I've got friends there and know a lot of people there, but used to work there, as a matter of fact. As one of my civilian covers was Chevron Geosciences in Houston. And so down there, that, remember last summer, Sarah, they had that embassy down there where they were burning documents all of a sudden, and it was kind of hushed up in the press. Some people are saying that they were printing fake documents, I mean, fake ballots down there. And when our authorities got wind of it, that they started destroying everything so they wouldn't get caught. But they were preparing millions a fake ballots, you know, with Biden's name on them to be passed around. They were actually forgeries or counterfeits to be passed around to the various swing states like Georgia, Mariposa County, and Arizona, and so forth. And that's part of their way they rigged the election. The Chinese Communist Party wants Joe Biden in the office. He's a lot less antagonistic towards them and their long-term world domination goals as Donald Trump was. So it was in their vested interest. Also, Sarah, on a strategic geopolitical level, if you look at Taiwan and Hong Kong, if the Chinese pull some military stunt over there and just invade and pull a military-type coup and install their own leaders, they would be more afraid that Donald Trump would use the U.S. military against them, whereas Joe Biden is basically bought and paid for, in my opinion, and his son, Hunter. They're bought and paid for by the Chinese. So is Mitch McConnell, the Republican from Kentucky.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, his wife, yeah.
Well, and then we have the useful idiots that want to bring in communism and really look up to the Chinese Communist Party. But, you know, they are doing organ harvesting with the Uyghur Muslims and everything else, but they're completely oblivious to that. Or they don't care. I don't know.
Well, I was on a phone call. I want to let Ole talk here, but I was on a phone call to Norway just this morning. And the person there had done some interviews with some Uyghur females that had escaped and were telling their stories of sexual abuse and so forth. And then when we were talking about it on the phone, all of a sudden my phone clicked off and just went to dial tone. And so they called me back from Norway a few hours later, and I said, what happened? Was that your phone? Did it run out of battery? You know what? He said, no, I don't know what happened. You know, but I think the deep state here, you know, they regularly hit my comms and emails and stuff, and Ole's been hacked over there on his Light on Conspiracies website. So, you know, we're dealing with this mass censorship too, and it's a very difficult time for all of us. Rigged elections, COVID, cyber attacks from multiple countries, Iran, Russia, a lot of them wanted Biden in instead of Trump. So it's a big mess. What do you think, Ole?
I think that at least to my understanding, it's on an even higher level. It's not a matter of Russia or China or the US. When you look at the New World Order, they have for a long time, they've been working on moving the headquarters, their headquarters sort of from the West to China, to the East. And many cities have been built and prepared for this whole move to go on. The whole plan has also been to destroy the US and turn it into some kind of amusement park or really bizarre
wasteland
for where they can watch buffaloes and shoot them or whatever. But like wasteland, and then move the whole thing to the East. So I think if you look at this as Chinese being behind it and being able to organize these things in Washington and so on, I think you have to look on a higher level and see how these are coordinated attacks with people in key positions in key different nations that are working towards a global fascist state. And I heard Ted Cruz, his name being mentioned before. I think this is an interesting individual. I just want to mention that because Rafael Cruz, the father of Ted Cruz, was actually together with Lee Harvey Oswald down in New Orleans in 62, handing out these leaflets, or Lee was handing them out, but Rafael Cruz, who was identified by Lee and also Judith Ferry Baker, he has now, and I was very closely associated with these different operations. It has been exposed and a big scandal and so on. And then around the Parkland high school shooting.
No, hold on, wait a minute.
Right,
before you go.
Right in the background is there. Oh, and now he's in at the Capitol again. It's this recycling of the same players, I would say.
No, but Rafael Cruz was with Lee Harvey Oswald. What was his role? Ted Cruz's dad
it is,
with that situation?
Yeah, that is a very good question. He was there. He was working together with Lee. He was there on Camp Street, I think it was Canal Street, while he was handing it out. Clay Shaw was in the background. Rafael Cruz was there. You had Chauncey Holt, who was also the old tramp in Dealey Plaza. He was down there. These were the people that were there doing why they did that whole thing, making Lee look like a communist and handing out these Hands of Cuba leaflets. Why they did that, there's a lot of question marks around that to this very day. It seemed like one of the reasons was to mark him as a communist so that he would go down easier as a patsy. But Rafael's part in that, I don't know, but he's standing right next to Lee in some of these photos.
Well, how, and then what was his role in the Parkland shooting?
Ted Cruz was...
Okay, not Rafael.
Not Rafael, but Ted Cruz. And these are the things, like you will see when there are these staged events, they very often they recycle the individuals. They come up to the surface again, playing different roles. And Ted Cruz has this very interesting way of just popping up in the background when these things happen.
So what was Ted Cruz's involvement with Parkland? Where did you see him?
He was right there. Afterwards, he was talking about anti-gun law deals and this whole thing. He was right when it happened. Boom, Ted Cruz was there. And now, I think, was it you or Cody that mentioned that he was in the background around this Capitol Hill thing as well?
Well, he was ready to give his objection to the election about that time.
Okay.
But he's a senator, so he was there to do that. So it makes sense that he was there. That could have been, but yeah, he was there, but so was all the other senators. But it seemed really odd, Schumer and some of those people coming in and saying that it was the worst event since Pearl Harbor and stuff, like it was just a joke. And then, yeah, they made those kind of comments. And then some of the senators flipped their support from Trump because of this incredibly horrible insurrection. So that was obvious too. And those people are just cowards and icky people. But yeah, I think we have a problem of a deep state. And I agree with you. I think it's a higher level thing with the globalists, and the Chinese are useful tools for them, and they're willing accomplices. I mean, they want to have that power. And I'm just concerned, what do you think is going to happen to the people of the West? I mean, not just the United States, but Britain and all sorts of other places. I mean, what's going to happen to us?
We're all in the same boat. It's up to us what's going to happen. If we sit on our butts and do nothing, then we're going down. Or if we use this as a possible way of taking back our power and stand up and say no against these forces, we have a very good chance of turning this into this beautiful place it's supposed to be.
I agree with that. This is an opportunity for us to stand up against it. More people are aware of what's going on. We have to unite and do it together. Get away from this stupid left-right Democrat-Republican and realize that this is an attack on all of us. What do you think, Cody?